Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we have the hens back with
the
us.
The hens are back.
Yay! Yay! Welcome to Sandy and Callie. Thank you for joining us again.
Yes.
For the third time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today,
Angie? I think we're going to talk about some things we would tell ourselves, our younger selves. So what have we learned over time that we would either advise those younger than us now or our younger selves?
Okay. Anybody raising their hand to start?
Wow, I know that. It's coming in hot.
There's no warm-up for this.
No. The warm-up was your drive here.
That's right.
Did you talk to yourself on the way here?
Self-talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And I think you said three things you would tell your younger.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't really know exactly what realm. So when I was like dividing this out in my head, I was like, okay, there are some like maybe, you know, health and wellness, like basics, like drink your water, lift weights, eat protein, like that kind of thing. And then I put it into more like overarching, you know, like, I don't know how to say that. Like the overarching, these are the things that I would have done differently kind of thing. Kind of like that like hindsight.
That. Yeah. I did the same thing.
And then I don't like living in the rear view. So then I kind of backed off of those because I don't think that you can live in shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah.
So then I kind of was like, okay, just more general. Like I'm overthinking this. More general, the things that I would tell myself. And I think I boiled it down to you're going to fail and that's okay. Failure is normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to learn more from those failures than you realize.
Yes.
And you are going to come out on the other side of anything better and stronger if you choose to do so and learn from it. Mm-hmm. So those are just like hot takes and that we can unpack of those go through and see how they overlap in our lives. Mm-hmm. But my younger self was not confident, was anxious, was shy, sat on the sidelines instead of playing the game. And I think I would have told myself it's okay to not have it perfect. Just jump in and start going.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fear, I think, plays a big role in all of that. I would say I was probably the same. I don't know if I would consider myself shy, but certainly I did lack confidence, which doesn't make any sense. So I came through high school really confident. Of course, I'm a big fish in a small pond, right? I went to a small high school and I stood out because I did all the things. But at some point, that confidence started to dwindle, and I'm not really sure what the catalyst to that was, but it certainly did play a part in some of that. I played it small, and I wish I hadn't. That's one thing I did kind of have on my list, is that I wish I hadn't played it small in some roles, because I think now looking back, I could have done more, gone further, all those things, if I hadn't done that. And again, I think things happen in our lives, and sometimes we can we can say specifically, this is at this point in my life, this happened, and so then the outcome was this. But at some points, it's just over time, maybe you get beaten down a little bit and things don't go your way, and you end up losing some of that confidence. And mine, along with that, was I wish I would have been kinder to myself. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I would. If I were talking to my nieces right now, I would say you should be kinder to yourself and give yourself some grace, because you are going to fail. And that's really okay. It's really trial and error. And you have this grand scheme or plan for your life. I think we all do at some point. And at some point you have to pivot and adjust. We've talked about that a lot on the podcast. And then just give yourself some grace.
Absolutely.
So I have a thought on that, and one of my three things was to be more authentic. Mm-hmm. And a couple of thoughts that I had while I was thinking that are similar to what you both said. We grow up in a pack, right? We have young friends, school friends. We grow up with them in high school. You're in a pack. You have somebody you're always with. And then you graduate from high school and you go to college and you find a new pack. And although that might take a day or a month or a year to find a new pack of friends, but you find another pack. Mm-hmm. And we seem to grow up in packs, so you always feel a little more confidence when you're not alone in the room, when you're with a pack of people. Mm-hmm. And then at some point in our lives, we grow out of friendships and we have to adult. And something that I feel that I can look back at my younger self and see is that I'm kind of like you. I considered myself to be very confident in high school and leave and go to college and, you know, was still a little confident, although I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I lost confidence there. And you've grown up with all these values that have been instilled in you and beliefs that have been instilled in you, and you don't understand a lot of them really, but that's what you've always heard, and that's what they've always said you should believe, and that's what you should be thinking. And I think for me, when I started thinking independently of maybe friends or family or what had been ingrained in me, that there's some lack of confidence that comes with that because you don't know what's on the other side of that.
Right.
Because you've always been in a safe pack and a safe, you know, if everybody thinks the same, we're safe. And if everybody acts the same, we're safe. And so I would tell my younger self, don't be afraid to look into another side of something. Don't be afraid to research something that you're hearing, you know, that this is the belief and you're thinking, but for some reason, I don't believe that. I don't believe that that is true. Do your research and know what's behind that belief so that you understand it. And so if you're confident enough to then say, I respect your opinion, but I don't believe that way. I used to, or maybe I've never believed that way, but I want to hear why you believe that way. Here's how I believe. And I think as we get older, you end up in a safer place, at least mostly, not always, but mostly to at least voice an opinion and be heard and not be shut down and ashamed or shamed by someone to actually think something different.
Yeah.
It's a little more acceptable the older you get. And this is how I feel. I think our 20-year-olds that, you know, I want to sit down and tell my girls, these are the three things that I wish I had known, or three things that I want you to know, or whatever. I don't know that they will see the same because they're in such a different generation.
Yeah.
I think when you, what you were speaking to with, I didn't want to go against the grain, if you will. I think you fear being alienated, you know, your friend groups, and when you're young and you don't have that maturity and that wisdom, and obviously what we know now, you don't want to be perceived as being weirdly different or, you know, chancing alienating that friend group.
Yeah.
I think for me, I did exactly what you did, Kelly. I looked at some, like a couple little micro things and I was like, okay, the nutrition and the health and the food and exercise. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like
basic first human needs.
First of all, I put a big asterisk into disclaimer. Like I don't have any regrets. So like if I'm sitting back with my younger self, I mean, did I make bad decisions? Yes. Could I identify those? Yes. Were there a bunch of them? You know, that's relative, but I don't have any regrets, but I definitely did look at it much like you did, and health and nutrition and, oh, I would take that so much more seriously. Like it's just, it's, you know, that's kind of a hard thing to like get up to speed on now. I looked at the money aspect of it. I'm like, oh my gosh, like money compounding is an amazing thing. Like start early, like you, because then because then when you're, you know, the age that I'm talking to you now, like you could be. And so those things came really quickly to me, petty or not. But the big thing for me was like, just don't rush the journey.
Oh man. Yeah.
I mean, just like, and you mentioned challenges and conflict and just really uncomfortable times in our lives. And we can all identify those. We've talked about them. They're going to seem monumental. They're going to, the fire's going to be hot, but I mean, just like one step forward, one day at a time, and you will come out. Like you said that you will come out, you'll come through it. You'll be able to identify all the things that, those things happened to you for you, mm-hmm. with you, mm-hmm. against you. I think that's what really resonated with me, because I can remember being young going, I can't wait till I graduate. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till I'm 21. I can't wait till I get out of college. I can't wait till I'm married. I can't wait till I have kids. Oh, I can't mm-hmm. wait till my kids are mm-hmm. walking. I can't, you know, and it's like you're this age going, mm-hmm. I wish this would all really slow down, mm-hmm. because trust me, it, as you all well know, it moves fast enough on its own. So it don't rush the journey, I think, is really what kept.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I was just listening to a Mel Robbins podcast this morning. It was on happiness. She took some listener questions, and a lot of their questions was, how do I be happy? And first of all, and that's mm-hmm. sad that she gets this yeah. abundance of letters and emails about how do I be happy? But she said she hit on several things, but primarily what you just said there. We live our lives looking in the future so much. Mm-hmm. We're kind of programmed that way, right? You can't wait till you're 16 because you want to get your driver's mm-hmm. license. You can't wait until you're 21 or 18 so you can vote, 21 so you can drink. You know, we're mm-hmm. always looking for those in the future. While if we would live in the present,
for sure.
mm-hmm. and appreciate the present for what it is, mm-hmm. we would be much happier, because if you're always chasing something, that doesn't make us happy, because eventually when you get there, okay, well, now I've got my driver's license. Now what? You know, now my kids are walking. What, you know, now what? And if we're always chasing something, we can't be happy in the present.
You know, everybody's got goals, and goals are good, but mm-hmm. I think that sometimes plays into that too, because mm-hmm. you're like, okay, well, if this is where I'm at now, and those are the things that I want, society teaches us, until you have those things and you get those things, like you haven't done it, or you're not there, mm-hmm. or you didn't attain right. it. I mean, I look back and I've talked to my kids about this. You know, when they have jobs, they're like, well, I just need to make more money. Think about every job you've had professionally. I can remember how much I was making my first job out of high school, out of college. And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, if I can just get this job and make this much, then mm-hmm. and if I can get this job and make this much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, each and every time, I mean, you spend what you make. Most yeah, generally, you exactly. spend what you make.
Right.
And so like yeah. that just... And so, well, yes, it makes some things easier, and mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting that you don't need to make money in life, but mm-hmm. it's just so interesting when you take this top-down look from, you know, our 50s and look down and mm-hmm. and try to really analyze that.
Don't you think you have to go through all of this, though? I mean, I think everything yes. we're saying, like, nothing is yeah. new under the sun right here. Like, I don't exactly. want to get, like, right. you know... philosophical, but no. these are, I think if we polled people in every generation, these are the things that they would arrive at.
For sure.
I was not ready to hear these things though in my 20s.
Agree.
Right.
I had great people telling me these things, but I would also be like, they just can't understand it. And I was like, well, also my entire prefrontal cortex was not fully formed mm-hmm. and I did not have reasoning skills at that point in time. Yep. So you have right. to go through it, but that doesn't mean we can't pass that on. Like mm-hmm. I'm very well aware that no one's probably going to listen to this and go, that just changed my life. You know, this is a life-changing moment.
This is
a life-changing moment. But I think it's validation
yeah.
mm-hmm. that I'm not alone. What I'm going through and the feelings that I have. And like you said, we're no longer chasing a thing. We're chasing joy and fulfillment mm-hmm. and service. And mm-hmm. that's why you do this. You're able to give back. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's one reason why we want to continue to hand out unsolicited advice sometimes, is we think,
true.
Oh, let me help you with that, because I've been there. Mm-hmm. And so I could kind of mm-hmm. buffer that a little mm-hmm. bit for you. And if you could just take a deep breath, then mm-hmm. you're going to get on the other side of this. I mean, mm-hmm. I can remember in college, in 1 week, I went to Drury and I lived at home. I got a speeding ticket two nights in a row on Chestnut. Yes, I sure did. At like 10 o'clock at night. And I remember the first one, I was like, well, I'm gonna have to do something about that. The second one, I just like drove home and cried. And my Uncle Jay lived behind us, and he was a night owl, and I could see him out on his back porch. And I went over there and just cried my eyes out with these tickets. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And he was like, oh, we'll get through this. It's fine.
You'll survive.
We're gonna call a person tomorrow who helps us with these things. I just thought my life was over at 18. Right. Yes. I guess I'm going to get points on my driver's license.
How could things get worse?
Right. Yeah. I'm sure when you had children and they were crying and
at
you thought,
at that moment, it's big.
Stop.
It's
yeah.
So, big.
So don't you think validating
until
too?
You've been through big things and yeah. know that you'll survive those yeah. big things, yes. you're like, oh, you don't know.
Yeah.
And so
everything is preparing you for the next big thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that it continues and that pattern continues literally until the day you die, because that's the biggest mm-hmm. thing you're ever going to go through is your death. That guess what? No one here on this side has been through it either. No right. one can go, oh, I know exactly how you feel right now.
Right.
Right. So we just are always replicating that until, like, what is the, that's the end. Like,
yeah.
you're
yeah.
supporting other people. You're help elevating other people and feel not so mm-hmm. alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was a very philosophical answer.
But to, I like that. And yeah. I,
what I, three things would you tell your younger self?
Yes. And yeah. I think we are 20-some-year-olds, no matter what we tell them, they might listen, they might not, but they don't have the capacity to understand it. Mm-hmm. They really don't.
Yeah, it's not their
life
fault.
Experience. No, it's not yeah. their fault. And maybe that's a protection, you know,
absolutely.
Maybe that's a built-in protection
yeah.
for them not to know all the ugly things that are going to happen mm-hmm. and how to prepare themselves for them. They're just not built that way yet, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of my three was to listen more and to look up more.
Mm-hmm.
And the looking up more, and this goes along with everything that everybody's already said, but the looking up is very relevant to our phones these days and how much we're looking down. But I also was reminded of when my children were little and not being able to remember a lot of those times. You know, it's foggy mm-hmm. because you're so... Your head is buried in the sand, trying to survive another day, trying to keep them alive another day. And all of those little tiny precious moments are lost mm-hmm. because they're not important. But when you get to this side of the fence, they are really important because you want to remember them and you yeah. can't remember them.
Yeah.
And the listening piece of that is with our grandparents who are gone now, we don't have the ability to listen any longer. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger and they were telling all those stories and I was like, I gotta get out of here.
Wrap
How
it
do
up.
I wrap yeah. this up? How do I make her stop talking to me? If we all could have some of those yeah. moments back, gosh, yeah. wouldn't we listen?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but we're just not capable in those times, most of us probably, because we have more important things that we're thinking about, that we have to do, that we have to be, mm-hmm. places to be. And just to have those moments back and simplify that and just sit and be all ears, mm-hmm. the things that you would pick up on, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
the presence.
Being present. Wow. And so as we're at the ages that we are now, we realize that, right? We can stop and savor a moment with someone special or even, you know, a group of friends today that we're sitting here having these conversations and just remembering and reminiscing about our own lives. You can savor that because you have the ability to. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that our younger selves could.
Well, and I don't think maybe, and I know we're eventually going to segue to talking about solo time and alone time, but when you were saying all of that, I was thinking we were not okay to sit alone. Mm-hmm. So in my 20s, a lot of you want to be distracted, mm-hmm. pack mentality, like mm-hmm. you said, mm-hmm. friend groups. You're constantly, for me anyway, was just always being surrounded.
Constant.
But when I could start getting okay with being alone, I don't need to have someone in my car with me all the time. And you start living your life and you are your own best friend that you will be with forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outside of a parent or a spouse or a longtime companion, it's you. It's mm-hmm. you and you mm-hmm. in your brain. So yeah. you better make peace with her and get to know her and be okay with the quiet times and the thoughts that come up mm-hmm. during those quiet times.
Be content, find that.
Yeah, it's contentment.
Be happy with where you're at, enjoy yeah. the moment you're in. I think mm-hmm. too many times you look back and you're like, I should have just, yeah, why was I, you know, frustrated or struggling through that moment in time when really you look back and it's, you know, the perception is, well, I wasn't here, I didn't have that, I wasn't doing what I thought I should mm-hmm. be doing. And mm-hmm. in all actuality, it's just a real easy, you know, thing to look past and miss those mm-hmm. big those mm-hmm. big little moments that can probably have a pretty big impact.
I'd be curious what did she say in the podcast? What did Mel say? Because to me, happiness and joy are two different things. To me, happiness is external things.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, man, that was a great cup of coffee. It made me happy. It was on the outside coming in. But to me, joy is inside out.
Right.
It's a mindset. It's a choice. It's a mind. You know, it's the internal work that you do is joy. Mm-hmm. So to me, joy, I think people are always asking for happy. But I think if they could really articulate it, what they're looking for is contentment and joy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was curious if she said anything.
Yeah, she did. And that's, as you were talking, I was sitting here thinking that because one of mine was, well, actually a question to myself. I wonder why it takes us so long to love ourselves. Why does it take us so long? Because that's what she said. She said, you have to understand that the most important relationship you will ever have is the one you have with yourself.
Oh, totally.
But it takes a long time to get there. And I maybe it's just adolescence. We don't have as much confidence. We're trying to find ourselves. We've kind of touched on all those things. But yeah, she said she equated mm-hmm. happiness with contentment. Mm-hmm. And the way you get content is to really take a look inside and make sure you're good with you, because it is the most important relationship. And we could talk on and on about the divorce statistics and why that is. I think a lot of times we're searching for something to complete us, if you will, and when we really should be working on us. And that's where it begins.
I think something that's going to make that really hard, especially for the generation that, you know, was born with phones in their hands, is, mm-hmm. you know, social media. And they talk about that, how impactful negatively it is for young people to not love themselves, or to, mm-hmm. you're constantly comparing, you're seeing those snapshots of, you know, what seems to be perfect and what I need to be and what I want to be. And I think that's a huge struggle for those kids mm-hmm. out there.
I will tell you, it's a struggle for me sometimes.
Professionals. I mean, every category of,
I really have to shut it down sometimes, because I'll get on and I'll look at somebody else's podcast who's doing better than ours or whatever. And I'm just like, I was feeling good and now I'm not. So shut it off. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a necessary evil when you're marketing and you're trying to, in the business I'm in and we're in and this podcast, it's a necessary evil to promote ourselves on. But man, I can't scroll. I can't do it, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I'm going to feel like, and I'm very confident in myself mm-hmm. now, but still mm-hmm. I'll run across. Now, I will also say that I like to steal ideas. So there's that.
We call it R&D.
Exactly.
Replicate.
Rip off and duplicate. Yes.
Rip off and duplicate.
Silly here. Yep. I mean, you're not putting your head in the sand. I
mean, no need to recreate the wheel.
Exist and move forward. You just don't want to become so fixated on something that it consumes your
heart.
And then you're it's 11 o'clock. What did I do? I just sat here and wallowed in.
And I think if it affects us at our ages and being in a different place mm-hmm. in our life, just think what it's doing to those 20-year-olds.
I think that's why I like being outside mm-hmm. so much. And I spend a lot of time outside, and I try to keep my phone either, it's always on Do Not Disturb, and it's always on silent. I mean, I really at work, I'd be like, I need to put that back on where I actually get notifications.
Uh-huh. Right.
Uh-huh. But it's October 1 today, and I bow hunt and rifle hunt for whitetail. Mm-hmm. Archery season opens September 15th. And just the way the weather's been on our schedule, we've only been able to sit twice now. I think we've sat twice now and haven't harvested. But I was telling my husband, I always get so tired when we're hunting. And I finally realized I'm not tired. I'm relaxed. Yeah. Because I don't have my head in the phone. Your mm-hmm. vision widens. You're looking at a horizon. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. suddenly are very aware of your body movement, your breath, mm-hmm. your hand movement. You're aware of every sound, the light's changing, what's the last light I can shoot? So all of a sudden, you are very connected, mm-hmm. and you've got to be totally quiet. I think it is human design that we are not designed to be under artificial lights, mm-hmm. 4 foot, 3 foot, 18 inches away from something mm-hmm. all day with our neck in a mm-hmm. bent forward position.
Right. Yes.
So I think I would also tell my younger self, keep looking up, like you said, mm-hmm. but specifically look at the horizon mm-hmm. and look metaphorically beyond that and physically beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something I've been doing, spending a lot of time outside,
just
in my outside space. And it's really, it's, it changes your...
That was our design. We were not designed for this shelter all the time.
Just morning sunlight. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
And just, I walked in today and Kate has hydrangeas on her desk. And I looked in there and it just, it changed my mood immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, it just made me happy to see fresh flowers. And it's just those little things. And again, that comes back to what we're, be present, mm-hmm. look up, mm-hmm. pay attention. You know, all those things that seem so minor, but mm-hmm. are... In the grand scheme, they're big things mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of things. One other thing that I had on my list was don't stop dreaming. Somewhere along the way, I didn't really, I mean, again, it's different than your goals and your, I'm still doing, I've always done that. But somewhere along the way, I rode a tractor round and around when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. And I had plenty of time on my hands to dream. And I was a huge dreamer. I mean, you should, you know. Hopefully we all were at that age. We were just really, you'd read that book. Yeah. So, but somewhere along the way, I lost that. I lost the ability to dream, truly dream big. We say that all the time. But I mean, truly just get out of my head and just... be happy in my dreams. Mm-hmm. And I've started trying to take myself back to that 16, 17 year old that drove around on a tractor and had time and could, and didn't have anything, any obstacles in her way. Cause that's the way I felt. Sure.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing that I would tell myself.
Stay curious. I say that a lot.
Yeah.
I enjoy learning and I know that not everyone enjoys learning, but I enjoy learning. I enjoy getting down a rabbit hole and I'm curious about things. I always have a lot of questions, but I can get really into the minutia of that and not come up for air and dream big. And so I'm always like, what am I going to do with all this information? How does it fit into this overall purpose of my life? What am I doing with all of this? Mm-hmm. So I agree. Stay curious. Keep learning. Keep dreaming. I like that. Tanya and I have grandkids about the same age. Mm-hmm. So when we were saying all of this and we said, when did we, why does it take us long to love ourselves? I think littles, I think we're born loving ourselves.
We are. Mm-hmm. And yes, then, I agree.
You know, puberty happens. I mean, this is all human design. We're not, I'm not saying anything new here.
Nope.
You know, puberty happens, adolescence happens, and then you're just in the grind and you're trying to just focus on, you know, sustenance and making money and all of these things. Mm-hmm. But then, but watching them love themselves, like, do you see this in the girls? Like, I see this in my grandson, and I'm like, he doesn't care what he has on. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care anything. I mean, if you have a hat on, he wants a hat on, whatever.
Right.
I want sunglasses, you have sunglasses. Mm-hmm. But he loves himself. He's not, he's five now. He's not afraid of showing his compassion and his love and for things. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. I do, and it's, I think it, it changed my perspective having littles in my life back again at this age versus when you're young. And again, just trying to survive the day with them, you stop and you watch and you listen differently. It's all different. And their little lives are so simple. You know, it's so simple. And it's just a completely different look at, loving oneself and loving everything, really. You know, they start to have opinions about bugs and, you know.
And they're just enthusiastic in general.
Just enthusiastic about the weirdest things. Yeah. But it does give you a different perspective.
Enjoying it.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, this is
of
what
how we're born.
I think that's why multi-generational families that stay in contact, I think, find a lot more joy and completion, and because you're able to have all of those different perspectives all the time from people who are at different stages of their life. Mm-hmm. So,
and you said that you didn't have a chance to process all that when you were younger. But isn't it cool when your young children now or young adult children come back now and they're like, they admit to you, like, okay, you might have been right about that.
Yeah.
And they start listening to a few of those little nuggets of information, or you share with your nieces and your nephew that. And that's when you're like, oh my gosh, okay, so like there might be a thread of hope that they,
that they did hear something
like
that.
Like, put the phone down and
We give because we've been given. That's one of my favorite things to say. Yeah. I can give because I have been given to it. This isn't out of me. This is through me.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did not come up with any of this. Every good thought I've ever had in my head, I promise you, it was not from me. It is from either generations or my God, you know, so it is not, it's absolutely threw me. I am just kind of like a square conduit. Box up there, conduit, probably. Yeah.
A conduit.
Yeah. I've heard this in a couple of different settings recently. Be curious, not judgmental. And I think that when you said, you know, we need to stay curious, we do. And unfortunately, yes, we're born. We love ourselves. We love everyone and everything. And but then at some point we get judged, and that's when it starts to. So I think it needs to be sort of a goal for all of us to be more curious and less judgmental. Mm-hmm. And I think we do our best, but we could all do better at that.
For sure. Absolutely. So let's segue into self. So several different thoughts of being alone with yourself and learning to appreciate that. And how did you find your way to that? Because as we covered in the beginning of this episode, it's ingrained in us to be in the group setting and to always want to have someone with us and to never have to go alone or do alone. Mm-hmm. And I think if I could, it's also one thing that I would teach my girls, learn how to do things alone and appreciate it. Learn how to love it. Mm-hmm. Sit back and feel how you feel and recognize that. So tell all of us how you learned.
Do tell how you learned
to be okay with being alone. Sandy, you want to start?
This one was actually, the first one came really easy. I was just like rapid fire, like all these things that I would sit and tell myself. But this was a little bit harder for me because I have always been, I won't say like the, even from just a young age, like let's just go back, I assume we're starting on, you know, like high school. We had friend groups. I did this and that. Was involved in a relationship, then not. And that was really, I was like, that was a pocket of time in my life, early 20s, where I was alone. And then as an adult, married with kids. And so this is really hard for me because now I'm kind of in a different chapter of my life where I'm like, okay, now I have the time to focus and be alone. And, you know, obviously so with Kevin, but that's like being alone a lot of the time.
Sure.
I'm kidding. Yeah. He's not. No, I mean, but we're learning to navigate, like me being home, just it's a different thing. Yeah. So this is a really new type concept. I won't say concept, but for so long I've either been the keep the family unit together, been the fix it person, been this or that. So I'm not really focused on myself. So
maybe this will be a time for you to discover that and actually start recognizing things. Yeah.
It is different. Right now, Kevin and I are just focused on, okay, we're both at home. Mm-hmm. I'm not out of the house working. So we're doing things together, but I'm also going, okay, I'm doing some things independent, like trying to find that rhythm or that groove, if you will, because early 20s when I was in college, I mean, that was about the only time I was like, I was very driven. I had a goal. And so alone was a different look for me because I was, you know, focused on one thing. But I would say as going through early marriage, children, sadly, I didn't devote a lot of time to myself. And I don't mean like I neglected myself. I just was constantly focused on my husband, my kids, the family, the extended family, my parents, his parents. Like, and I don't, again, no regrets.
And that's common. Asterisk
star here. Yeah. Like, I don't have any regrets doing that. But I just, when you ask that question, I'm like, oh, I don't, like, that's not something I've really spent time in going, it's all about me, because it's never always been about me. It's always been about me doing for everybody else. And that's just, maybe that's just my DNA. But so this was an interesting one for me.
You may be at a very interesting point in your life. I know you took a trip to Arizona. You went by yourself, but you were with your sister.
Right.
So you got there and you were with people. But I hope you get to appreciate your time by yourself.
And I feel like I'm looking at it a lot differently now. And again, it's, you know, I think when we sat down, there's been a lot happen in my life that's just kind of derailed anything what I would call normal. But hopefully we're looking at different things ahead now. And this was a really interesting one for me for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Callie?
I'm on the other end of the spectrum.
You like being alone?
I love it. It recharges me. Mm-hmm. I probably, and I recognize this might not be the quote normal for everyone, but I was always okay being alone. I would go to my room and read by myself. I would go for a bike ride by myself. I'd go for a walk by myself. Like, even in high school, it did not bother me to be alone. Mm-hmm. So that alone time has, it just feels very healing to me. And that's where I do my thinking and my dreaming. Mm-hmm. So I have always built in time like that. And I'm really grateful that I'm married to someone who also enjoys their own alone time. Mm-hmm. So we're better than when we're together, because mm-hmm. we've already done our own alone thing. Mm-hmm. So I travel alone because I don't want to drag him to places that he doesn't want to go, that I want to go. Mm-hmm. And our motivations are different. I want to read while I'm there, or think or plan or mm-hmm. yoga or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's more like action oriented. He's like, okay, well, when we go to wherever, we're going to ride four wheelers and we're going to fish and, you know, okay, that's great. I enjoy all of those things. Mm-hmm. He likes to go do his own fishing tournaments. This has been the best like spring and summer ever. He started fishing the Friday night Mill Creek tournament. I have every Friday night to myself, and I'm in bed at like 8:45, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I've worked all week, mm-hmm. and I can be in bed so early. I love it. He comes dragging in at like 3 a.m., and I'm like, see you later.
Don't wake me up.
Yeah. Bye. So it's rejuvenating to me mm-hmm. to be alone. Mm-hmm. And I understand that that's not the same for everyone, depending mm-hmm. on just who you are and right. your personality and the family structure that you grew up in.
Right.
My parents have always kind of also done their own thing. So it wasn't weird to me mm-hmm. to watch my parents do their own thing and then come back together. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the other end of the spectrum. Yeah. I mean, I'm like right now planning like a solo, like I haven't done a solo trip in a while. Like you did this summer, Angie. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, where am I going to go?
Where are you going?
What am I doing? Like what fits in my life right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've watched you on your journey in the last, I'm going to say 10 years mm-hmm. because 5 years ago was COVID. And so 5 years ago, or 5 years goes by really quickly.
Right.
And you and I have been better friends in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I've just watched you do things alone. Mm-hmm. And you've been a big inspiration to me, just that you can be in a relationship, you can mm-hmm. be married mm-hmm. and still enjoy being alone mm-hmm. and figuring out who you want to be mm-hmm. in the next version of your life. Mm-hmm. And it's all okay, because you go back at night and you're still married to the same guy.
Yeah.
You just get to do that however you need to do it.
Right.
So
I would say I feel a little bit more efficient then. So I would rather have, you know, one day of really good quality time with someone instead of a week of a bunch of just crap time,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like filler. It's mm-hmm. like buying right. stuff off, like, I don't know, Temu or whatever, you mm-hmm. know, like I don't want all this crap on this boat. I mm-hmm. want one really good, you know, I don't know, White House Black Market skirt from you,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I also need the time in my brain because of the work that mm-hmm. I do to kind of dissolve some of those things, work through some of those things. My brain likes to wake me up around 2 or 3 with any unfinished business. Mm-hmm. So if I can get that's on the nice. Front end of that, yeah. right, mm-hmm. and get up at 5 and go for a walk and kind mm-hmm. of let my brain work all of that mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. then I can sleep through the night, and then mm-hmm. I can also be more present when I'm actually with someone instead right. of mm-hmm. this thread out here keeps pulling, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I put that to my Google list, you know. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy solitude. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Angie?
I have a big, long answer to this one because okay. I've changed so much. I grew up, you know, 4 kids in my family, grew up around all kinds of family, cousins, and we went to grandma's every Sunday. I mean, there were always people around, and I loved it. I was a social butterfly. I, like I said, in high school, did everything I could. In college, I same thing. And I always wanted people around. I didn't want to be by myself. I wanted people around me all the time, and I thrived on that. And, you know, into my 20s, and of course, I've been single my entire life. That doesn't mean I haven't been in relationships. It just means I have been single my entire life. So at some point, and then I grew up and got all serious. Like when I bought the business, now it's, I have people around, but somebody's asking me questions constantly. Somebody's always there that needs me and that kind of thing. And so I have gone from, I have to be the party girl. I have to be out. I have to be social. I have to be seen. I have to, you know, why don't we have plans for Friday night? You know, that kind of girl, to, I can't wait to go home and just be by myself sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I took that, you know, I've mentioned it on the podcast. I took the solo journey this summer and I can't wait to do it again. It was so much time for self-reflection. You mm-hmm. think you're going to do it while you're here. You think you're going to do it. And while I have great intentions and I do meditate and do yoga and the things that give me peace, I really getting on the road by myself and having no choice but to do things on my own, eat by myself, do everything by myself. Mm-hmm. It was truly one of the best gifts I could have ever given myself. I just can't emphasize that enough, that it was just so, it was a spiritual journey for me. It was so much time for self-reflection. Now, towards the end of that, I went and saw friends in Colorado, and I was ready. I was ready to be back around people. I couldn't wait to see my friends and have some really good conversation. But, you know, that was the best visit I've had with them. They moved a couple of years ago, and I've been out to see them. This was the third time, but I honestly, my best friend and I got to sit down and have a really good conversation. And I think a lot of that was because I was ready to listen. I mm-hmm. had been through this. I'd had this experience on my own, and I was really ready to just have a really good conversation. Sandy and I had a really good conversation after I came back from that. Tanya and I had, you know, I was just mm-hmm. really ready to truly connect with people again, not mm-hmm. just talk about things that are, you know, Tanya and I talk all the time, and it's mostly, you know, what are we going to do on the podcast, and who's going to post what, and, you know, all that. But we were able to have a real conversation, and mm-hmm. and that's meaningful to me. And that's why I think I have to do this solo journey again mm-hmm. sometime. Mm-hmm. I've already talked to my travel agent. She said Costa Rica is a great place to go by mm-hmm. yourself. And, mm-hmm. and so I'm looking forward to the next time I get to do that, because I feel that's like awesome. it was just so good for me mentally and physically and all
things. Started small when mm-hmm. I started doing it, solo trips, and I mean even just to go to Dogwood Canyon for a day and mm-hmm. walk, or go to Busick for a day and walk,
right?
And then I was like, because I felt bad leaving, you know, LG and Brett behind. Like, I was kind of like, man, I'm shirking my duties. Mm-hmm. But then when I figured out, okay, I can be gone for a night or two nights mm-hmm. or, you know, then mm-hmm. longer, and then 2 weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. So once you...
Bye. A month, I'll see you. Bye.
You'll be fine. And guess what you were?
So I think that's where my head's at right now. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, if I leave, because I did leave for a week or so, mm-hmm. and I've left for 2 weeks and gone to Arizona. Again, I'm with my sister, but a big part of me is a little bit like, oh gosh, Kevin's having to, you know, he's having to do his own thing.
They're loving it. I just want to tell you, they're
thriving. It's yes. not a bad thing. Yeah,
he's eating all those toasted ravioli out of the air fryer that I won't cook. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Thursday. I'm taking vacation Thursday and Friday and going on a quick trip with a girlfriend. And I told LG, I said, I have got no food in this house. I don't know. There are ingredients. You just have to assemble them. He was like, oh no, I'm ordering pizza that you never let me order. I was like, awesome.
People, he can take care of himself.
People make it.
Yes.
Yes. Just like when you send your kindergartner and you're like, how are they going to eat that chicken patty? They figured it out.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Or they're hungry and they eat a snack when they get home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. They're not in a caloric deficit. It's fine.
No, exactly. They've had two milks.
Definitely not
that. Yeah. There's a snack. That's a whole other podcast on the food consumption in America.
Anyway,
it really is.
So there's that.
But when you emailed that this was going to be a topic, I was that, you know, when you said you struggled with it, I was like, oh, I could do like a whole thing on that. Like the benefit to me of being brave, mm-hmm. finding your strength, depending on yourself, mm-hmm. solving your own problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the first larger trip I went on by myself. I flew into Santa Fe, took a rental car, went up to Taos, and my flight was delayed out of Dallas. Like, everything was a disaster. Am I going to be able to get this rental car, because it's one of those off-site ones that closes at like 10 p.m. I'm going to have to drive in the dark up there. Do they have late check-in at the resort? Like, I had to work through all of those things. And There's no one, like, I can't turn to someone and go, hey, do you think this is a good idea?
Right.
No.
Well, it's not that I have an objection to doing things alone or by myself. It's just, I guess my brain is just, I'm wired. Constantly yeah. just like wired to,
yeah.
to just, I've got to take care. I've got to yeah. do this. I've got to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just didn't.
You know. Oh, it wasn't yeah. easy the first few times. I mean, I'm pretty sure I like made and froze a bunch of casseroles and I came back and they weren't eaten. And I was like, oh, they don't want that. Mm-hmm. They want to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, eh, meh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I haven't been anywhere in 2 years by myself. Wow. I know.
That's surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on a lot of trips. I've done a lot of things. I just have not arrived by myself somewhere. And I was like, oh, I need to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I always have this irrational fear that my rental car is going to break down and I'll be on some weird stretch of highway where I have no cell phone service because I end up going to very remote places.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah. I was like, dang gum.
Or in my terrible. Case, my phone overheated. Like yes. literally said, shut me down.
Yeah. I'm too hot. Yeah. And I was
in the
like,
middle of
the desert.
Yes. Yeah. In the middle of the
desert. When you do go to the desert. It
yeah.
is
yeah.
hot.
Yeah. yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always like,
oh. goodness of that. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lord wants me here for some reason right now.
So yes.
I end up, mm-hmm. I guess our last piece of advice would be everything runs right on time. Like you arrive where you're supposed to arrive. Mm-hmm. If you really release your perceived control over things. Mm-hmm. Yes. I really think we have this idea that we're really tight gripping it.
Right. Yeah.
We're clutching our pearls. We're charting our course, all of these things.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think if you really objectively look back and kind of release your hands, you're like, you know what? I mean, I've made some shaping decisions towards all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you truly believe that what's for you will come to you, it's mm-hmm. going to shake out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so true. Yeah, agree with that.
Yeah.
Tanya, you didn't tell us about alone time.
Tell us about being
alone. So I'll make this quick. I learned to be alone through divorce. Mm-hmm. And my kids were 7 and 9. And I, like you, had spent my entire young adult life being the person to have all the plans and organize everything and make sure everything happened like it was supposed to, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, it's just me in the house alone. And my kids are with their dad. And mm-hmm. it was a huge wake-up call to me mm-hmm. that you got to figure this out. You got to figure out how to survive by yourself, mm-hmm. not only financially, mm-hmm. but mentally and physically, mm-hmm. because, you know, what is your instinct to do? You start wallowing in your self-pity. And I drank wine in the bathtub every night. I read mm-hmm. every self-help book I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. And so at least I was educating myself while drinking. right. And I remember, and in a time period like that, there's a lot of emotion and bad feelings, right? You feel guilty, you're ashamed, a lot of sadness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a death of mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And you lose your family in the process, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Family, friends, they go to the wayside, they take a side. Mm-hmm. So being lonely was forced upon me, and figuring out how to be alone was forced upon me by choice. But about 6 months later, I look in the mirror. I'm like, what are you doing? Where have you been? You know, you look at yourself and you don't recognize who you see, and you realize that your actions for the past 6 months have just got you nowhere, mm-hmm. literally,
yeah. mm-hmm.
nowhere but down. Mm-hmm. So but in that process, I figured out how to be alone, right? Yes, I was lonely mm-hmm. in it, but I figured it out. And then I started making better choices. Mm-hmm. And I started getting outside. And I found things that I loved, like going to the bookstore by myself and smelling the books and mm-hmm. just the feeling you get when you walk in there. Mm-hmm. Being able to go on a nature walk at Busick alone mm-hmm. and hear the noises and feel the beauty around you. And mm-hmm. so even though I experienced a death in a marriage and friendships and family, I forged a new relationship with myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And And I know that I was a better parent. I know that I was a better friend because of it. Mm-hmm. And the other things that have happened in my life since then have only probably enforced my ability to find joy in the worst circumstance, mm-hmm. because there's something that's going to come out of that,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
So the worst situations we've had, the growth beyond that and past that moment in time are tremendous. And learning to love to go home mm-hmm. and be by yourself and be mm-hmm. in bed at 8:45 mm-hmm. is a gift.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It really is, because you don't really need much. Sometimes it'll be quiet in the house now, today, and I don't want to turn anything on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want
yeah.
to hear how quiet yeah. it is.
Yeah.
And I remind myself, it's so quiet in here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And going outside and sitting on the porch and just, you know, looking across the grass or picking up a book, it really does help grow into your next self, your next mm-hmm. version. So, Sandy, mm-hmm. when you start to appreciate those moments that you're alone, mm-hmm. rather than your mind always trying to figure out, what do I need to be doing?
For somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just life mm-hmm. that, you know, mm-hmm. that you get to now figure out just from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So
your growth has been, I mean, vice versa. I know you said it about me, but like watching Tanya grow into herself has mm-hmm. has just been beautiful. I mean, to Thank become, you. Like you said, okay with being alone and taking some risks mm-hmm. and, I mean, even starting your own business and mm-hmm. the brokerage. And mm-hmm. I mean, you were like, I've got two little kids and I've got a radiology tech.
Right, radiology degree.
Certificate, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
What am I going to do with this? But right. you wouldn't trade it for anything. No. I mean, and I think I guess, dovetail it back to where we started, telling someone that's younger than you, that's in a different place than you, I hate to use age, but somebody mm-hmm. that's in a different place on their journey than you, that yeah. honest to goodness, this is, you are right where you need to be. It's yeah. all going to come yep. together. And yeah. all of these hard things are making you who you're going to
well,
be.
Well, yep. you will come through it. Yeah.
yeah.
And if you would have told your young self, okay, you're going to be divorced at this age with two mm-hmm. kids and you're going to be having to make decisions financially.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean.
You're going to be fine, Tanya. You would have been like, no, I'm not.
You yeah. would have been, yeah. been like, yeah. you're crazy. Yeah.
This is all going to be really, really bad.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. But no, yeah. Like watching you, it's been a gift to watch other women do hard things.
Yeah.
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 That is a gift.
And yeah. for them to be vulnerable about it, because yeah. I think for a lot of times we just covered yeah. all that up and we were like, was nobody else having this problem? You know,
oh,
not
yeah.
to watch people
yeah.
externalize it a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm not yeah. saying we need to get on here and get all the skeletons out of the closet, but yeah. you know,
I'm reminded of a story I have to tell with that. So for those of you that don't know, I sell real estate for Kelly's husband, for both of them. And he builds houses and I sell them. And I remember when I was getting ready to open the doors to our company, and I called LG and I said, I need you to meet with me. I have to tell you something. And P.S. I'm sure he was like, oh no.
Well, he's just used to bad news at that point. It was 2006.
Yes. Right. Yes, yeah. you're right.
Yeah.
We met at a coffee shop in Price Cutter. And it wasn't Starbucks at the time.
No, it was just like
whatever it yeah. was. And sat in a booth. And I remember me like spilling the beans and him just kind of looking at me and saying, okay, well, are you sure about this? And I said, I'm as sure as I can be.
And he was like, all right.
And he was like, I'm with you. Yeah. Whatever you're doing, I'm uh-huh. with you. Yeah. So I yeah. think along the way, mm-hmm. we get a little bit empowered by mm-hmm. some wisdom or some words of, you can do this.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it gives just that step in the right yeah. direction yeah. of, yeah. we're doing this, yeah. you know, yeah. put the fear aside.
Yeah.
We're doing
I won't
it.
Quote him exactly, but he usually says, if you're not messing something up, you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So he and I are very different, but he likes to just make decisions and keep moving forward. I want to like think about it.
Wrong or otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. But that works for us. But we had total faith in you. He was like, this is what she does for a living. Why? I build houses for a living. She sells them. This is what we're going to do. And I was like, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That works for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
that kind of leads me, and we'll try to wrap it up, but it kind of leads me to kind of my other thought on what I would have told my younger self, and you've really touched on it with connections. I would have appreciated the connections that I had along the way a lot more because that's where you do get your support and your confidence from, the people who, and they're ready for you. They're there. And again, back to the Mel Robbins podcast, she said, if you're waiting on somebody to reach out to you and you haven't reached out to them, whose fault is that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to make those connections, because you don't have to wait on someone else to do that. You can certainly, you know, and she talked about warm connections versus the colder connections. Those people, you don't need to put your time towards them. You need to put your time towards people that are those warm connections that can bring joy to your life. Mm-hmm. So thank you all for being here. It's always an interesting conversation.
Thanks,
and we appreciate you both.
Okay.
So thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll share this episode with your friends and family.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.